Joe Matarese, good friend of mine, good friend of our state and our the healthcare audience out there and business community and public policy. He's the founder and executive chairman of Medicus, the principal and chief investment officer of the MFO Capital Group. Medicus is headquartered down in Windham, New Hampshire, large healthcare provider, player. Joe started the company. He's been in healthcare most of his career. He's back on the show talking about healthcare, and I was commenting on that article on the CDC now talking about some of the COVID, all the COVID policies and how young kids are so messed up, especially teenage girls. Before we get to that, let me bring in Joe Matarese talking something that's very important and we all need at some point, healthcare. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. We have some time this morning, so if it's okay with you, I want to come back to that story that's out yesterday and today about young kids and how mental health is soaring in this country. But let me start in general, just in general terms, Joe. You've been around this how many years now? More than 25,
I think? Over 20, yep.
So you started it to shake things up, and you're still doing that in healthcare, but how can healthcare be made it more affordable? Because right now, the last time I checked with inflation, nothing in healthcare is coming down.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, healthcare is broken, and I don't. It's going to be almost impossible to fix under the current arrangement. And the reason is it's a systemic problem. In healthcare today, there's no prices, and prices in a market-based economy is very important because it signals producers and providers and users of how to allocate resources, and that doesn't exist in healthcare. So the actual patient is disconnected from the cost of service, or they pay a small fraction of the cost. And with governmental intervention, you see prices have been rising, and they've been rising at a greater rate of inflation for 40 years now. Healthcare in the United States is close to $4 trillion, and a third of that, or at least a quarter of that, is wasteful spending. So there's no real solution that the government can offer, because of the government fundamental problem of incentive. There really is very little incentive to drive the prices down, and the industry does ultimately get captured. And we see the industry capture really through COVID. It's been exacerbated. Most Americans now understand this, where maybe they weren't paying attention prior, but COVID really did affect everybody and on every corner of the globe. But in the United States in particular, you saw it with healthcare. Healthcare really did not perform the way it should have performed during the crisis.
Well, let me go back to the cost. I mean, if you get a new stove or refrigerator or automobile or anything major as a consumer, you know the cost. And it's weird in healthcare, you don't. I mean, you go to the doctor, you go get a procedure, the last thing you ask is, how much is this going to cost me? That question is not asked. So why, in general, this is a 30,000-foot question, why is healthcare broken, Joe?
Well, it's really the disconnection. It's that disconnection. The consumers don't see the prices, so they're not sensitive to the prices. When I saw research where people will spend almost close to 6 hours researching an iPhone to get the right model and get the right, I don't know all the technical details, but essentially all the characteristics they want, and they weigh that against price. And a new iPhone could cost $1,500, $1,600, and another iPhone could cost $800, and people make that calculation, and they determine whether that $800 is justified to get the newer model. And so you're spending 5-6 hours doing that. When you pick a surgeon, you essentially spend no time. Somebody recommends it, you go and you do it, and you go meet the surgeon, and you have the surgery. So there's no competition. There's no price as the basis of competition. And so when you have that model, prices have to rise.
You know, it's so interesting you say that. These things in our hands, cell phones. Joe Matarese, he's chairman of Medicus and former chief executive officer there, but also head of his MFO Capital. Joe, our cell phones, we spend how many hours researching the next plan or the next cell phone, and yet we're told we need a new rotator cuff surgery, and we just go along like sheep saying, okay, I'll be there Wednesday at 10. We don't spend any time researching anything about the facility or the doctor.
Well, it even gets worse than that, too, because the government oftentimes controls the supply of opportunity of where you can even go. So you might be forced because of the insurance plan to go to the highest cost provider, when there could be alternatives that you just don't know about. And there are people working outside of the system to try to create transparency, But they're up against it. I mean, you know, Keith Smith, Dr. Keith Smith of the Surgical Center of Oklahoma, you know, basically tried to do this, you know, over, I don't know, maybe it's now 20 years. And his idea was, we're going to give you cash-based pricing on all surgeries. And what we found in his model is that his surgeries are literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, they're 60, 70% less than what you would get almost anywhere in New Hampshire.
Right.
60, 70%. So think about that. A $10,000 surgery, you're paying two or three.
You know, it's interesting. You know Nick Vail as well. He knows you, Joe Menarisi, and Nick will be on tomorrow. But Nick's talked about this. Shop for your healthcare. Go to the more affordable. He's formed these outpatient surgical centers. But, you know, it's only in LASIK surgery and plastic surgery where market conditions make it, the prices have come down. Every other part of our healthcare has gone up. Joe, let me ask you this question. And then I want to come back to the heart of the story today. But what are some of the, you just mentioned that alternative. Tell us more about that in terms of access and accountability. I've heard, for example, that people from another country will come here and they'll pay for their health care. They'll get in faster. They get better quality and lower cost. But we, under insurance, go to the same hospital and pay more. Is that true?
Yes, it is. In fact, you just mentioned it a few seconds ago with LASIK surgery and cosmetic surgery. So when you think of health care in general, if you think about across the whole board, the only market-based health care we really have is LASIK surgery, medical tourism, and cosmetic surgery. And the interesting thing about those three areas is over the last, let's say, decade or more, the costs have gone down. Technology and innovation has improved, bringing that cost down, and it's more accessible, and it's a better experience. And so that's when the market dynamics come into play, and it's actually observable in the marketplace in those three areas. So specifically, medical tourism is when somebody from outside the country will take a look at a potential surgery and they'll shop it around the country. And the hospitals know this. They don't publish it domestically, but the foreign person, the patient coming in, knows exactly what the prices are going to be. And they shop that across multiple hospitals, and the hospitals roll out the red carpet for them because they tend to be cash payers.
So what a racket.
It is. Well, because why would you do that for people coming in when you have, you know, your own citizens should be able to access it under the same market conditions? The other piece of all of this too is that it is really not very accessible, because under the non-market based model, look at the prices. I mean, just to even somebody who doesn't understand economics knows intuitively that if you go to an ER with, let's say, a scratchy throat, that visit should never be $2,000 or $3,000.
No.
In a market based scenario, well, we know even with Keith over in Oklahoma, we look at his pricing, and you could compare it to what the normal pricing would be, let's say, in an insurance plan. And when you see 60, 70, 80% off, and there's other models that we've looked at too that people are actually trying to get off the ground here in the U.S. And when you compare price to price, it's actually very, very affordable, because you don't have the bureaucracy and the regulation that you would have in the current system.
Joe Menarisi, you mentioned Oklahoma and that surgical center. You said 20 years ago, I think Nick Vail has started BASC in Bedford, BASC, more than 25 or 30 years ago. Are there other models like this that are popping up in the country, or are these still hybrids?
No. They're popping up every day. I do think that the solution is not going to be through CMS. It's not going to be, you know, the government, Medicare, Medicaid. That's not the answer. I think the answer is a parallel system. And where entrepreneurs can come into the marketplace, create a solution, and then let the best solution win. So some examples of that, Big Tree Medical is a good example, where it's a direct primary care model. It's a subscription base. It's business to business, business to consumer. It's portable, so you as a consumer can go in. You could pay $50 a month. I don't know if these are the exact numbers, but, you know, you go on their website. But let's say $50 a month. Plus, you layer on an insurance component to it, real insurance, not the medical insurance, but insurance where if something catastrophic, God forbid something happens, you have a heart attack, you have to go into the hospital for a bypass or something, then the insurance covers that. But for day-to-day normal activity of maintenance of your health, you work with a nurse practitioner, you work with a doctor. A lot of it's telemedicine. You go in for an executive physical, let's say, and you're getting all of these services, the services that are going to keep you healthy, and the doctor's aligned with the patient. So in that model, it, the cost is contained. You have some protection on the downside, and you get better service. I mean, you know, I'm in that model personally. I have a concierge medicine down here in Florida, and what I can tell you is, you know, if I woke up today with a sore throat, I can call my doctor up, and just through him having a communication with me and asking me specific questions. I also have tools at home. I have an oximeter. I have a thermometer. I have a blood pressure cuff. So all of these things, the doctor could, without seeing me, he could diagnose me and give me the right, put me on the right path to health immediately.
But you just said something that's novel and unheard of. You can call the doctor today, and the doctor's going to call you right back. That's rare. Hey, before we take a quick break, I want to start this subject, but I think we need to take a break and come back once we start it, because I think you're going to have more to say about it. But you said something about 5 minutes ago, Joe Matarese, chairman of Medicus, which is a New Hampshire-based healthcare company or healthcare related on the doctor's side out of Windham, New Hampshire. You said COVID did not, that the government, that our system of healthcare in the United States of America did not really deliver the goods well in terms of results and taking care and service and all that. But there's another story that is even more bothersome today, which I think, as you said earlier offline, is 3 years late. And this is off of CNN Health and many other news outlets this morning. The CDC now says teens, especially girls, are experiencing more violent suicidal thoughts and mental health challenges because of COVID, CDC survey finds. I think it's not only COVID. I think it's the policies around COVID that have caused this with young people and anxiety and mental health. And I said it during at the time with the remote learning lasting too long. Am I right or wrong?
You're 100% right. In fact, I mean, almost very little of this is COVID. The problem when people say, I can't get, fill in the blank, a part or something for their house or, for something, because they say, the supply chain, it's COVID. It's not COVID at all. More specifically, it's the government response to COVID. So that's why we have, one of the major drivers of inflation is because the world literally shut down by fiat, and you just can't turn the switch back on to get the economy going. So all of that supply chain disruption, it's going to take quite some time to get it back to what we were pre-pandemic.
Right. Joe Matarese, a healthcare expert and CEO right here in our market. He's chairman of Medicus, which is out of Windham, New Hampshire, principal and chief investment officer of the MFO Capital Group as well. Joe's been in healthcare most of his adult life, and he's seen a lot. And Joe, I want to kind of go back to some of the things we're not doing right, what we learned about the COVID response, but more importantly, what are some solutions going forward? Because it's like the same old, the definition of insanity. So Joe, it sounds like one of the things we need to do is get to market forces in healthcare. That means prices for the procedures and the services up front, so consumers know that it will make more competition, drive it down. But beyond that, I want to come back to what we learned, what we did right or wrong the last few years. How can we do better? And why is mental health, this CDC article about young people, young teens, especially girls, suffering a lot of mental health and even suicidal thoughts because of the last few years where they were remote learning and all that lasted too long, I think. So how can we make that more of a priority with healthcare? Because it seems like the one thing that's taking more people's young lives we don't talk about.
I mean, there's so many problems in the country. I mean, where do you start? I mean, if you really just talk, stick to healthcare. Healthcare really has to. I agree with you. We have to continue to incent entrepreneurs to create new solutions to help people across the whole spectrum of care. So not only just mental health, but drug interdiction, preventative medicine, making people really healthier and really understanding, what a healthy life is. And it's such a difficult problem. I mean, if you look at the food and what people eat and how it's advertised and, the smoking, I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's really hard. But I do think if we were able to have a good national conversation about some of this stuff, it would help. But unfortunately, it seems like in today's society, everything is really politicized.
Right.
Every single thing is politicized. And, we've seen masks politicized, wearing of masks during COVID. I mean, most healthcare professionals, if not everybody, knew that masks weren't going to be effective for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons why we didn't recommend masks, in fact, Fauci at the onset wasn't recommending masks because he knew they didn't work. And then all of a sudden it seemed to become political, and you have people running around with masks on, you know, outside in their car, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's really actually embarrassing. But it, the reason they're doing it, it maybe in the beginning might have been a political statement, but ultimately it's ignorance. I mean, people obviously don't know. I mean, they really don't. And CNN and Fox and all the rest of it really don't help. You know, they don't really help the cause. I mean, do you know, as an example, right, you know, when Pfizer was doing the trials, there was 1,223 deaths within 90 days. Okay, the FDA wanted to block that for 55 years. Thank heavens there was a judge out there that was sensible and says, no, we're going to release it. And Naomi Wolf, who was a former Clinton aide, really started digging in. She raised quite a bit of money. She hired a whole bunch of lawyers, and they've been going through all the documents, and it's really quite shocking. And then you look at what Matt Taibbi did with what Elon Musk did with Twitter and the Twitter files. It's absolutely like shocking, and the media doesn't cover this. Most Americans are completely unaware of it. I mean, you had the CEO of Pfizer tell the media that there were no safety signals. Meanwhile, there were 50 deaths, and he was saying publicly that there were no safety signals, yeah. And he's still the CEO. So, I mean, we're in a world today where we have a non-functioning government and we have a non-functioning media, and no one's really being held to account. And you know, people on the Democratic side or on the Republican side, both of these parties have been in power for the last 100-plus years, and they've got us to this point. So to think that, you know, Donald Trump is going to become president, we're going to fix this, or Joe Biden becomes president, it only makes it worse.
And Joe, you know, I have to wonder with some of the pharmaceutical stuff, and I'm just saying I'm a market person, but I wonder if it was a lot of it about the billions and trillions of dollars.
Well, there's no question. I said it earlier. They've been captured. The CDC has been captured. The FDA is captured. The government itself is not working on behalf of the people. They're working on behalf of special interests.
Let me ask you this, because we only have a minute. We only have a minute. Joe Matarese, chairman of Medicus. Before we go to the top, 1 minute. What do you say with what you just said about some of these earlier studies that weren't reported? If someone has said on a weekend, hey, Joe, you're making a lot of sense. You know what you're talking about. You're an expert. You're not one side or the other. You're down the middle. But you're a little bit crazy on this. I don't believe what you're saying. Why are some people so not open to finding the truth and not getting it, not politicizing it?
Okay, well, a couple of reasons. One is that if you've taken the vaccine and you've taken multiple vaccines and now you're starting to learn of the lack of efficacy or potentially the dangers that it could cause, and you already did it, I think you're in a mental sort of block. I don't think that's the sort of thing you want to hear. Right. So that's one aspect
Makes
of
sense.
It. More importantly, though, I think it's that the media is not promulgating the information. They're in fact, we know this now, we're censoring it. So if people were to say, hey, this conversation is a little bit crazy, this guy is you know, a conspiracy theorist. Well, here's the thing. This stuff is now public. And
right.
So now we have it as a matter of record during court cases.
Go find it. And go find your prices.
Go find it. That's right. Go find it, and you'll see it.
Joe Matarese, we've got to get you back again soon. Chairman of Medicus MFO Group. Thanks, Joe, for opening up our eyes. Make it a great Tuesday. Thank you, Joe.
You bet. You bet.